One thin dime, that's all it took.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner, in for Mark Austin Thomas. It was an extra Australian dime per share that helped win over the folks at Qantas Airways. After a lot of back and forth, the Australian carrier accepted an $8.64 billion bid from a private equity group that includes Australia's Macquarie Bank and the Texas Pacific Group of the U.S. At the margins, there was concern the deal could face turbulence with the Australian government, but Mark Pilling of Airline Business Magazine says that may have been taken care of.
I mean, they're calling it Airline Partners Australia to give it that national identity, and they will keep very carefully within Australia's ownership restrictions, which are very tough and limit foreigners to a maximum combined stake of 49%.
There was another key to this offer being accepted. The bidders dropped a breakup fee Qantas would pay if shareholders or the Australian government nixed the deal. British oil giant BP is in the hot seat again. The company says it could face charges of price fixing, this time in the unleaded market for gasoline. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
BP has already been accused of trying to corner the propane market as well as massage crude oil prices. Now the company says it could be facing legal action on yet another front. The US futures regulator, the CFTC, has alleged that BP's been manipulating the price of unleaded gasoline futures. The allegations relate to contracts traded on just one day 4 years ago. BP says, "We've reviewed the facts, we're confident manipulation was not attempted, did not occur, and we broke no laws." This latest legal challenge reflects a growing concern in Congress. Some lawmakers believe that large energy companies can influence the price of oil and gas through trading and storage. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In Washington, there's a move for ethics reform. Today, the members of the incoming Democratic majority in the House will be briefed on a package that would beef up bans on gifts and meals from lobbyists and set up an outside watchdog to enforce the new rules. From Washington, John Dimsdale reports there's a lot of momentum behind these changes.
After bribery scandals sent a lobbyist and a congressman to jail, reformers last spring proposed an independent Office of Public Integrity to investigate ethics charges against lawmakers. The idea went nowhere in the House, and senators overwhelmingly voted no. But that was before November 7th.
This fall election sent a message that changed the focus of ethics on the Hill.
That's American University professor James Thurber.
And I think there's momentum behind an independent ethics commission.
Democratic leaders also hope to beef up restrictions on lobbyist-funded travel by lawmakers, although the president of the American League of Lobbyists, Paul Miller, worries about an outright ban.
The government's not going to pick up the tab for all this travel that is needed in this country. Without trips like this, I think we're going to be losing out and competing with other countries for opportunities.
Democrats will formally propose their ethics reforms next month. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
On Wall Street yesterday, stocks barely budged. The Dow gained a few to 12,317. The Nasdaq rose less than a point to 2,432. The S&P picked up 1.5 to 1,413. This is Marketplace. Wall Street observers are consulting their crystal balls to see how stock returns and earnings will do next year. Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Many analysts on Wall Street are forecasting mid to high single-digit earnings growth for next year, and some scenarios are even more bullish. Nick Raich with the National City Private Client Group says on average, corporate profits will be up 10%, while stock market returns will hit 9 to 12%. Still, there are a few market worries that keep Raich up at night, namely uncertainty in Iraq and energy costs.
We saw oil spike earlier this year. We've seen it subsequently decline. But at any time, if that starts to go back up, it creates inflationary pressure.
And that could turn Raich and other analysts very bearish. But for now, he says investors should expect nominal inflation and steady but slower economic growth. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. By Reuters, the world's news and information source, working to make a difference every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Doug Krisner. The holidays are about making lists and checking them twice. People to buy gifts for, check. People to send cards to, check. People to tip, In some cities, holiday tipping is a Yuletide tradition. We sent Trey Kay to the streets of New York to find out the do's and don'ts.
Have you ever thought about not tipping?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have a superintendent who doesn't earn his tip. It's almost like you tip just in case. You tip so that he doesn't do something evil. You tip as protection.
My name is Gus Rogers, and I've lived in New York for 19 years. Sometimes I get worried about there being consequences if I don't tip, basically some sort of, you know, payback. Every time the staff comes, I sort of feel like, should I have tipped them? Should I not have tipped them? And I always feel uncomfortable about whether or not I should have given them $20. And is $20 absurd? Because it's, relatively speaking, not very much money anymore. I get nervous about the time when actually I need the staff for something, you know, and am I going to be that, you know, the tightwad in apartment 51?
We have always tipped the doorman, the porter, the entire staff. Well, it is a generous amount, but at some point, if you continue, you really are out financially pacing yourself. So at some point, you've got to come to an agreement with yourself that this is as far as you're going to go and hope that everybody is happy. When somebody's been here a really very long time, you do have a kind of a family feeling, a rapport with each other at a holiday time. If they're working a shift that's during our meal time, we might be very happy to send them down a plate of food or a dessert or a sandwich, whatever they would like.
The service people work in the building, the doormen, the porters, do you do well at holiday time with tips?
Well, that I think is decent, and it helps out probably to make up for whatever we don't make it through the year. So, I mean, it's all right, but it's not great, you know. We have very generous people, and we are also have very, you know, people that they think twice before they give you anything.
Do you feel that they treat you like family, or that they treat you like the help?
26 years here, family, no. Help, yes. I know doormen that make considerable amount of money for Christmas, $15,000 and up, and those are the ones that are appreciated, and those are the ones that go that extra mile. Although I do go the extra mile, but I don't get that.
And I don't even make that close. I wish I knew, so I moved to that building. That's why I have to have two jobs to take care of my bills and everything. I work 80 hours a week, and I've been doing it for 24 years, pretty much to have what I need.
Our piece was produced by Trey Kay on the sidewalks of New York. If you're on the go, you can take us with you. Find out more about our podcasting at marketplace.com. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner, in for Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.